Trying to get turned on up here. I don't have a joke for you today, so I'm running out of jokes, folks.
Yeah, Margaret. That's right. Get on the ball, Margaret. You hear that? She's my joke finder. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Let me get my glasses so I can see better. Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is, Who Do Men Say That I Am? And it's who do and not who day. Okay? That's my joke for today, okay? All right. You know, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. Father, just give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. And go forth, Father, and just follow on to know you in the fullness of everything that you'd have us know you. And just come on into that completeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. In Matthew 16:13-19, it says, When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know, when he says, Who do they say, what do men say that I am, the Son of Man, you know, that word there for son is the word weos. And it's always used in relationship to Jesus, and it really has the connotation of a full-grown son. You know, there's other words for son in the scriptures. One of them's technon, which means a little son, you know, like a little kid. But you know, when he's talking about I, the Son of Man, and he's wanting to identify with man, and you know, what he's doing there is he's wanting to identify with man so that we'll turn around and identify with him. You know, and he was the perfect man. He was man standing in the full image and likeness of God. He had the Spirit without measure. We still have it a little bit in part, the scriptures say. We still have it in part. That doesn't mean that it's not going to come to fullness, because it will come to fullness in God's time and his timing. And, you know, it's like the word for faith, you know, every man is dealt a measure of faith. And every man has faith, whether he knows he has it or not. But eventually, its faith is like that mustard seed, a little seed that, you know, you put that seed in the ground and you water it a little bit. And the scripture says it grows into a plant that the fowls of the heaven can lodge in. Well, you know, in other words, it's saying it can become very massive, but all it takes is just a little watering of the word and a little bit of the S-O-N light, the sunlight. But anyway, it says here, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. And then he hit him with the big question. Then he said, Unto them, whom do you say I am? And that's the real crux of the matter. It's not about what men are saying out there, but whom do you say he is? And, you know, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you know, I think one of the keys that he gave Peter was the fact that he said, upon what you said, I'm going to build my church. You know, and you know, when he said, you're the son of the living God, and then we see there that he's being identified with God as being the Son of God. But up in that first verse, he was identifying with who? With man. I, the Son of Man. So what's he doing there? He's saying, pay attention. He's saying, I'm identifying with you, and I want you to identify with me. And, you know, a lot of times we have a tendency that we walk around in mistaken identity because we only see little bits and pieces of what God's doing at this moment. But I got news for you. He's about ready to unveil a lot of things. And I believe he has unveiled a lot of things in our day. And he's got a lot more things to unveil. And as he does, we're going to begin to grow into that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, like it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. But, you know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to tell you a story. And this is a true story, by the way. It's about me. And it's about a problem I was having with my plumbing. It's a plumbing story, okay? So don't get too discouraged, because it'll have a little bit of a meaning by the time I finally get done with it. You know, my shower upstairs has been in there for 20 years. And it was starting to leak, to drip from the shower head. It's just a shower. It's not a bathtub. It's only a shower. And it started to drip just a little bit. Drip, 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 you know. And you could kind of hear it sometimes, and it was very annoying. And, you know, and I thought, well, should I get a plumber in here to fix this? And I had a plumber one time look at my shower downstairs, because it was acting up a couple years ago. And the guy came and he wanted $1,000 to fix it. Well, I got news for you. I don't want to pay nobody $1,000 to fix my shower. And anyway, so when my sister-in-law and my niece were going to move in with us, they were going to use that bathroom downstairs, so I had to try to fix that shower. So I tried to take it apart. It was froze up. You couldn't get the piston in it to move and everything, so it was froze up. So I wrestled around with that thing for about 4 hours before I finally could get it out of there. And I put a new one in, and it works just fine, you know, and it works good. And I'm not a plumber, but thank God for YouTube and perseverance, because I use a torch and everything else on it and put asbestos behind the pipes so that I didn't burn the house down, and did a little bit of everything. But I did get it fixed. So I figured, well, I was trying to debate on whether I was going to try to fix the one upstairs. Entirely different thing, because the one downstairs has a bathtub. So I decided, well, I'm going to see if I can fix it. So I turned off all the water in the house. If you ever go to do any plumbing, turn off all the water. Don't forget. That's just a little plus there. But make sure you turn off the water. Anyway, I did turn off the water, and I started taking this thing apart. And when I pulled it apart, I saw that there was two little bitty bushings, like, they weren't O-rings, but they were bushings, and they were rubber. And the way that shower works is that those things ride in a groove on either side for the hot and the cold. So I got to thinking, well, maybe I can just get those two little bushings. So I went on a hunt to try to find them. So I went to Menards and looked at everything they had, and had one of their plumbing expert guys come and help me. And he really didn't help me. And I had these two little bushings, and they were little bitty bushings, you know, and it had springs behind them. And I thought, well, I bought some that were bigger, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try them, and I didn't. Then I went to Home Depot. And I went to Lowe's first. I went to Lowe's, and I looked through all of their stuff, and I bought something over there, and it wasn't the right thing. Then I went to Home Depot and talked to their expert guy, and he told me, I don't think we got anything like that. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to send you to a plumbing house, you know, where they just have plumbing parts. And he told me where this place was. So I go over there, and I just got them two little pieces is all I got, little bitty pieces. So I walk in there, and the guy says, can I help you? And I said, yeah. I said, can you, I need to get these little bushings. And he said, well, what brand of shower is it? And I said, it doesn't have anything written on it anywhere, so I don't know. And I didn't. I mean, sometimes they'll have it written on the ring, or they'll have it somewhere where you can see it. Well, it didn't have it written anywhere that I could find, you know, so I didn't know. So I had a sneaking suspicion that it was a certain brand. It wasn't Delta. It was something else, because they have tons of parts for Delta out there. You know, it's easy to find Delta stuff. But anyway, so this guy takes it, and he looks, and he brings something back, and I said, well, those are bigger than what I've got. You know, I said, I don't think that'll work. And he said to me, he says, well, I'm going to send you to another plumbing house. Now, I'm going all over town, because, I mean, I went from up here, you know, up in this area to over in Westchester. Now I was down in Blue Ash, you know. So I'm on the hunt, buddy. I'm out looking for this. So I go to the last plumbing house, and I show this little piece to this kid, and he's kind of a younger kid working, and he's the only one person working in this plumbing house at the counter. So I show this to him, and I say, hey, you know, I need to get two of these. I told him about my shower, and he said, do you know what brand it is? I said, no, I don't. I said, I'm sorry. I said, it's not written on it anywhere, and I don't know what it is. He went in the back room, and he come back in a couple minutes, and he told me what brand it was. And he also went and got the valve with the two little bushings, exactly what I needed, and brought it over to me. Now, I'm telling you all that to tell you this. The reason that he was able to do that, not because he was able to do it, but I think there was an old plumber, probably his dad, sitting back in an office, and when he walked in there with that one little rubber piece and showed it to him, his dad said, oh, I know what that is, and told him exactly what it was. And the reason that I'm saying that to you is that he had the knowledge. He had the experience. He knew exactly what I needed. And he went and he got me exactly what I needed. And to give you the happy ending to this story, I went home and I put it in, and first time I had it in there, I had it upside down, so the hot was where the cold was, and the cold was where the hot was. So I took it back out, and I reversed it, and then everything was where it was supposed to be. And when I turned it off, turned it on, turned it off, it quit dripping. So it was a happy ending. But I'm telling you that because what I'm saying to you is that each person had a little bit of knowledge, but didn't have the full knowledge. But when I got to the right place, guess what? All he had to do was look at that one little rubber piece, and he knew exactly what type it was. He knew exactly what I needed to fix it. And he told his son, and his son came out and told me. And I went ahead and bought that part. And you say, well, Oscar, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because I'm going to tell you what. We're coming into a day and an hour. We all know in part. We all prophesy in part. We have a little bit of knowledge, but not the full thing yet. But we're coming into an area where God's going to start unveiling the full thing. Now, a lot of people think they got the full thing out there right now. Well, they don't. I got news for you. Because if they did, that these works that I do shall you do, and also greater works than these. They're not doing the greater works yet. Now, they can claim that they are, and I talk to people who are into a deeper word sometimes, and what I find them doing is vacillating back and forth, you know, saying one thing one time and then something else the next time, and then, well, and they go back and forth and back and forth. And I got news for you. What does Scripture say? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. That's because it's still your ways, not God's ways yet. And I want you to know that what's about to happen, I feel like, is that he's going to bring us into a place where we quit knowing in part and we start knowing in full. And sometimes you wonder, why are you going through some of the aggravation and the agitation and the things that just make you so? You think, you step back and you say, Lord, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? I got news for you. It's very necessary. Because he's teaching you experience. He's teaching you to trust him no matter what's happening. He's teaching you that he's in total control. And I'll tell you this, before I went into that last plumbing house, I sat in the car and I prayed. I did. But I mean, I was getting pretty exhausted. I'd been running all over town trying to find the parts for this thing, trying to save myself $1,000 probably. You know, and the part cost me $29. $29 beats $1,000 to death, you know. But anyway, I sat there and prayed and said, Lord, please let this man know what I need and give me the right part. And maybe I should have done that to begin with, but I don't think the other people didn't have the part. But literally what he was showing me was this guy knew a little bit. This guy knew a little bit. This guy knew a little bit more because he started sending me to some place where they actually knew something. And then that guy sent me to the place that actually knew what I needed, okay? So I'm going to tell you, don't get frustrated in the things of the Lord. Don't get frustrated when at times you don't know the answers. You don't know exactly what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing. Hang in there and keep saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to trust you in the middle of this whole situation. I'm going to praise you in the middle of this whole situation. And I'm going to wait until you reveal the truth to me. Now, I'm going to share a scripture with you. And this is 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28. And I believe this is a word for us today, if we'll hear it. It says, for as in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, wait a minute. How many? All. Not a few, not some, not just the Christians, not just this denomination or that denomination or whatever. All. Okay? In Christ. But every man in his own order. Now, there's an order to everything that happens. Now, a lot of people don't like it when you say, well, bless God, he has an order and he has a plan, and his plan is not falling 1 minute short. It's always on time. It's going to happen exactly the way he wants it to happen, right when he wants it to happen. Now, your part in that plan is getting willing to submit yourself and do what it needs. You know, let me tell you what, if when I went to that first plumbing place, to Menards, and that guy didn't give me the right parts, I could have said, oh, heck with this. I don't know what to do. I'm just giving up. But you know what? I went to another place. And this guy told me a little bit. And I went to another place. And that guy told me a little bit more. And he sent me to this plumbing house, which I didn't know where that was. Then I went to that place. And what'd he do? He sent me to another place. But I'm going to tell you what. I finally got my part. And it cost me $29. Not $1,000, $29. And I put it in there, and it works just fine. And knock on wood, it'll keep working just fine. But you know what? For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, there's an order to everything in Christ. Christ the first fruits. That was Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits of this thing. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. And that word for coming there is the word parousia, at his presence, whenever he's present. You know, I got news for you. I've shared this with you before. When Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected, and the disciples are walking down the road, all disheartened and all down in the mouth, and some guy comes up and starts walking along beside them, starts talking to them, and they're walking down through there, and he's saying, "Why are you so sad? Why are you so down in the mouth?" I'm giving you my own words. I'm putting this in my own words. And they said, "Well, where you been? Didn't you know they took Jesus and they crucified him and they did this and they did that?" And he's saying, "Well, you know," and then he starts talking to him about Scripture. He starts talking from all the way from the beginning of the Bible all the way through, and he starts telling them about himself and everything that was said about him. And they still are walking along in a daze. They're still asleep, basically, spiritually. They're still asleep. And they get down the road, and he's been walking with them all day because they went a long distance. And he's been talking to them all day. And I got news for you. Sometimes he's talking to you all day. And sometimes we're not hearing what he's saying. And we need to say, "Lord, give us ears." And we need to pray that every day. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. Not yesterday or not tomorrow. Today. Because today, if you'll hear his voice, he says, "Harden not your hearts as in a day of provocation." And they didn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. But tell him, "Give me ears to hear your Spirit today." Okay? And all of a sudden, they invite this stranger that they didn't know. I find that funny, you know. This stranger that they didn't know, they invite him in to come in and have dinner with them. So what's he do? He takes the bread and he breaks it and blesses it. And all of a sudden, their eyes are open. And they realize that's Jesus. And he's been with them all the way down the road, all through all their moaning and groaning and complaining and all their crying and everything else that they've been going through. He was right there with them all that time. And then he disappears and he disappears out of their presence. Well, my goodness, how many times did we find ourselves going down the road grumbling, crying, moaning, "God, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe that's happening." I got news for you. Spiritually, he's right there with you all of that time because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not walking outside of you. He's walking inside of you. And if you'll acknowledge his presence in the middle of that situation, you'll find him a lot sooner in it. So what did they say? They said, "Well, didn't our hearts burn within us all the time that he talked with us?" And you know, it's sort of one of them things, duh, stupid. He was right there with you. Didn't you hear his voice? You heard his voice when he preached to you, when he taught you for 3 years you walked with him. I got news for you. When Clyde calls me on the phone, I don't say, "Hello, who is this?" When I hear his voice, I say, "Hi, Clyde." Or if Brenda calls me, I say, "Hi, Brenda." I know who it is. You don't have to tell me who it is. I know who it is. I know your voice. And you know what? We need to know his voice. We need to say, "Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us each and every day." Let's go on a little farther here. He says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man after his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end." And that word doesn't really mean the end there. And says, then shall he have delivered up the kingdom of God, even unto the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power." Now let me ask you a question. When Jesus said, "But whom do you say I am?" Do you really want to know who he is? I mean, ask yourself this sometime. Do I really want to know who he is? If you really want to know who he is, get willing in your own life to put down all rule, all authority, and all power. What was the song, last song we sang? I do what? Surrender all unto Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give just to trust him, you know, so on and so forth. That's exactly where we have to get to, folks. And if we'll be honest, we ain't always there, because we ain't really always ready to let go of everything into his presence, into his authority, into his power. It says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, his enemies ain't them out there, most of them. His enemies are the ones right in here. His enemies are that old stubborn attitude that you have, that I got to have it my way, if it ain't my way, it's the no way, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, he must reign till he had put down all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he shall destroy is death. Now, you know, when it says he'll put all enemies under his feet, you know, Jesus said at the Last Supper, he took a bowl of water and he brought all the disciples and he bowed down before them. I mean, think about that, folks. King of kings, Lord of lords, the Lord of the whole universe, the maker of everything, because he had the Spirit of God without measure. He was full of God. He was God, bowing down before them and washing their feet and taking all of the filth and all of the grime and all of the nasty, stinky stuff upon himself, because it said he lay aside his garment, and it says he took a towel. Well, it's not really towel. He took a linen. And that word actually is linen. And he wrapped himself in that linen, and he starts washing their feet, and he starts drying them with that linen. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, and I've shared this before, when Mark and Jennifer were little, they'd be outside playing, and Margaret had them towels hanging in the bathroom. And kids have a tendency that when they come in and they wash from a towel, that half the time they don't really wash their hands. They wet them and then rub the dirt off on the towel. I mean, that's the way little kids are. They don't wash their hands real good. But you know, them towels would look pretty dirty. But imagine what Jesus' garment looked like. These guys had been walking out in the streets with the donkey, the camel dung. People would throw their waste products. They didn't have bathrooms back then. They'd have a pot or something. They'd throw it out in the street. And that's where you walked every day. That's why the custom was, the first thing that a person did when you came in their house, they gave you water to wash your feet. And they did it partially to be good to you, but more so to be good to themselves. They didn't have to smell all that stink and nasty on you when you walked in there. And let me tell you what, and he clothed himself, and he got through 11 people. That's 22 sets of feet. That's a lot of feet. That's a lot of yarn. That's a lot of nastiness. And then Peter was last. And Peter said to him, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Because this was Peter who had said to him up there in that scripture I read to you before, Simon Bar-Jonah, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. You know, he knew who Jesus was in that aspect. He said, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. What was he saying? He said, I'm humbling myself. I'm the King of kings. I'm the Lord of lords. And I'm going to cleanse your walk. I'm going to take all your filth upon me. And I'm going to cleanse you. And he said, you have no part with me if you don't let me do this. Well, Peter, being the exuberant guy, says, not only my feet, Lord, my head, my hands, just get me all over, you know, Well, you don't have to get him all over. He said, if I get your feet, that's sufficient, your walk. And you know what? That's what he's changing in all of us. He's changing our walk daily. He's cleansing us daily. He's washing the filth off of us. He's washing the grime off of us. And we might think we've been thoroughly cleansed. We have by the blood of the Lamb, but it's all by faith. And it's all by what he did on Calvary. It's not by what we did. Anyway, let's go a little farther. It's the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith he put all things under him, it is manifest that he accepted which did not put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that all things under him, that, and here's the greatest thing that could ever be said, that God may be all in all. My goodness, what a day that'll be when God comes to the full growth process in us, to where it's God in us, and he's and in all of us, and he's and we've given him our all. You know, you might say, well, bless God, I've given him my all. I don't know if I believe you or not. Because if you'd given him your total all, I tell you what, you'd be walking in a realm that I ain't seen nobody in this earth walk in since Jesus was here. But I'm going to tell you what, he's going to bring us to that place. And it's going to be not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he's the one that will do it in you. And don't get too hard on yourself when you find yourself falling short. Don't beat yourself up too bad, you know. But recognize it, and don't act like you're something that you're not either. I mean, you know, there's been a whole lot of culty things out there where people started claiming that they were something before they actually were that. You know what I mean? And most of them out there, that's exactly what happened. People began to worship the creature more than the creator. And he turns them over to a reprobate mind. And I'm going to tell you what. We need to come to the place where we realize who and what he is, and what it really means, who we say that he is. When he becomes our all in all, there's going to be a tremendous move in the earth. You're going to see things turn around so quickly when that actually happens. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You know who his Christ is? It wasn't just Jesus, it's you. It's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to share this poem. I shared it with you before, but I think this poem speaks a lot when we really hear what God's saying. And, you know, I had somebody ask me one time about how many poems the Lord had given me, and I said, well, he's given me about 30-something poems, you know, over the years. And this other person said, well, God's given me more than that. I said, well, that's good. I said, do you know how many Proverbs there are? Do you? You know, he said, no. I said, there's 30. I said, 30 must have been enough. that's. I mean, if he gives me some more poems, I'll take them. You know, I'm glad. But I'm going to tell you what, the ones that he's given me fit so many different scriptures in so many different places that, my God, I don't care to share them over and over when I see where they'll fit in something. I'll share them anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. Praise God. And this one is called A Covenant I Have Made. I've given you life. I've given you love. I've given you freedom, my peace like a dove, to soar when the winds of adversity blow, with the assurance and the confidence that you only can know. As you learn that I hold you in the center of my will, and you only can know this as you get quiet and still, and allow my spirit my faith to impart, to write my word in the center of your heart. My plan I will unfold day by day, as you wait before me and you learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. For that truly is a sign that you've become my son. And all that is mine, I will give it to you. As you grow to maturity, then you'll know what to do. I will give you my strength and even my power to meet each need in that self same hour. My love will flow throughout all the earth, bringing all to repentance and even a new birth. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I desire to fill it with my love. Even as the waters fill the sea, I will cause my love to set all men free. And I'm going to tell you what, he's the one that's going to do it. It's not going to happen 1 minute sooner because you try to do something to make it happen. But what you need to do is flow with him. Ask him to give you ears to hear what his spirit would speak to you today. Thank him when he begins to reveal more of himself to you in different aspects. And ask him, Lord, let me become an expression of you in everything that I do. And you know what? That pleases him when you say that. He wants that. Because when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion, he wasn't just kidding. And I tell you what, you can look at man out there and they can claim that they're in the image and the likeness of God, but no, they're not. They're in a fallen state. They're in a state below. They're in the state of Adam, a lot of them, because they haven't come to the reality of what Christ has done yet. They're still walking in a mistaken identity. They're walking in an identity that's not their true identity. Their true identity is a son of God. But they're walking in a son of Adam right now because they don't believe what God has said he's done already. And what does Scripture say? Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. And they're a bunch of liars. But that don't mean nothing. That don't mean he don't love them. And that don't mean he wants you to call them liars. He wants you to love them. He wants you to encourage them. He wants you to minister to them when he gives you the opportunity to do that. And otherwise, he wants you to leave him alone. You know. And when the hour's right, you'll know the hour's right. When the time's right, you'll know the time's right. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And like I say, my first scripture up there was, who do men say that I am? And the first two words there are who do? All right, praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you that Lord, you are bringing us into a fuller knowledge of you. Let us don't get so puffed up that we think we got all the answers, because we sure don't. And you are the answer. You're the only answer. You know, even those disciples who walked down the road with him, Lord, I thank you that you had patience with them. You walked with them all day and talked to them all day. And you got them down to the supper and you broke the bread. And we know who the real living bread is. It's you. And I just ask you in Jesus' name that you just bless your people. Anyone who hears this message, Father, just let your anointing break through into their lives and begin to change from the inside out. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.